greetings to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback episode number 306, as this week we bring you the conclusion of WCW Bash at the Beach 1996. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. Normally, I would be joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Jim Valley. Jim, as you may have heard, has sustained a throat injury and he will be sidelined for the next couple of weeks. However, filling in from this week is one of the legendary figures of professional wrestling and my former promotional partner, Sexy Shane Shadows. Shane, ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to the summer of 1996, and find out who the third man is?
I cannot wait. Wrestling fans, I have been waiting all afternoon with bated breath in anticipation of taking you in the Wayback Playback Machine. And Patrick McNeil, take it away.
Well, thank you very much. Some minor business. Obviously, go check out our Patreon if you feel up to it over at patreon.com/waybackplayback. I just put up a bunch of stuff on there. Actually, I've put up a bunch of stuff by the time you listen to this, so that's important. We're still doing well over on over in the rankings. The Chartable website has our podcast ranked in the United States, Canada, France, Brazil, and India. So thank you to everybody who is tuned in, and we really appreciate it. All right, so actually before
Jung Desh, Sydney, Muhammad, everybody, thank you.
Thank you. All right, so Shane, I would ask you to tell the people what you've been up to since the last time you appeared on the show, but you've been up to the same things that many of us have been up to for the past 4 months.
Right, everything's getting shut down. People still call. They want to have professional wrestling events at their Butterbean festivals and at their National Guard armories, but unfortunately the governors preclude us from doing so. So we are basically at a standstill like the rest of the world. Hopefully we can all get out of this together and soon enough get back to regularly scheduled programming.
However, I'm sure you will tell the people who are interested in this sort of thing how they can contact you for once this pandemic is over.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You can find us on Facebook at CPWWrestlingWV.com. That is our Facebook identification that will give you all the upcoming events and all the news as it pertains to Championship Pro Wrestling based out of Hagerstown, Maryland. 25 years in the professional wrestling promoting business. Please do not hesitate to reach out if you want professional wrestling at an affordable, entertaining cost in the near future. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And if that doesn't work, just text me. I'll send you a link. So that's for the listeners.
Absolutely. Text Patrick McNeil.
Yes, thank you. All right, so let's go ahead and do the bonus match. If we run long, we'll move the bonus match over to Patreon. But if not, we'll just put this in as the regular show. What's going on in professional wrestling in the summer of 1996? Well, we'll head over to YouTube and type in Jake Roberts versus Bradshaw. This is from the June 15th, 1996 episode of WWF Superstars. Shane, I'm guessing that you're there right now and you're at, hold on a moment, I'm getting a commercial. Thank you, YouTube, for absolutely nothing. Okay, one, two. I forget YouTube has decided to stick commercials everywhere, so.
Right, Bradshaw has given the Texas horns. He's in the ring with,
I have zero,
don't call me Uncle Zeb.
I'm at zero minutes, zero seconds. I've got the, They have the little JB logo on there. I guess it's supposed to be his brand. So if everybody can get to 0 minutes and 0 seconds, and once we're there, we're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. This is very important. We synchronize everything. Okay.
One, two, and I'm in.
Yes, all right. There's Justin Hawk Bradshaw.
Boy,
he looks young. Oh, this is the King of the Ring brackets. I forgot. 1996 King of the Ring. And this is, this is not a match of the King of the Ring tournament. Well, no, it is. It is. It's a second-round match.
It's a second-round match here.
Yeah. Wow, this is exciting. And it's on Superstars.
Apparently, Justin Hawk Bradshaw, either Snake or Justin Hawk Bradshaw beat Hog, as people may recall, being Henry O. Godwin, who advanced to this level.
That was Bradshaw, yes, who did that. And I don't remember off the top.
Remember, this is not Damien.
No, it's Lucifer.
Is it Lucifer or was it Revelations?
Oh, it might be. You're right. You're right. It could be Revelations. Yeah.
And I'm just nerdy enough to possibly invoke that one. So
nope.
Let's keep going. I did not like the smock on the snake.
Nope. Well, Yeah, I guess it was
not the prettiest body that there ever was, but I did not care for the smock era.
Yeah. Well, it was a board again smock.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Are you getting a lot out of your religious experience, Jay? Yeah, about $1,500 a night.
Boom, boom. Plus gimmicks.
Bam.
All right. Here we go.
Plus gimmicks.
Lock it up.
Oh. Yep.
All right.
See, I like this. Like, right away, these guys have made the hold into something. Like, Jay yeah. drops to a knee, Hawk drops to a knee. It's like it's a punishing hold.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bradshaw, a recent arrival, best known before this for, I guess, a run in Japan and for being in the Global Wrestling Federation.
Absolutely. And I thought of him as an up-and-coming star when he came in like this. And as it turns out, it actually happened three gimmicks later.
I know. Well, that's kind of, that's kind of how you become an overnight success in the WWE, WWF.
Do a goose step and get on the good side of the boss. All right, back to that headlock.
Yep. Yes, and Jake is explaining the challenges that he's facing.
Okay. Yes.
Oh. All right. This
all right. Second bump of the match for Jake.
And this was your this is your Sunday afternoon fare here on USA Network.
Okay.
This is back when it was like Sunday at noon.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah. Okay.
With a rotating set of hosts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, I think it's Jim Ross and I want to say it's Jim Ross and Kurt Hennig doing commentary. It might be JR and Vince. Jeez. Yeah, and boy, you know, it was kind of awkward, JR paired with Vince on commentary.
Yeah, you can't have two lead guys.
No.
Henning's in there, too.
Oh, okay, so that's why booth. I heard Henning. So, it's a three-man booth, even better.
Yeah. Back to that headlock again.
Mm-hmm.
How about that, a wrestling match? Hey, kids, watch close.
Yep.
Oh, one to the bread basket. Mm-hmm. Jake's going to go for it. Oh,
yep.
His former finisher before the DDT, the knee lift.
Oh, no. Yep.
He's going to, just that close.
Too quick
just
for him.
Just that close.
It's obviously the wisdom of Uncle Zeb that is helping him out here.
Time for a commercial break here. Are we still plugging IcoPro? No, IcoPro was gone. So we're not going to see any of that, are we? Oh. Back to live action.
Yes. Apparently, this is the British feed on Sky.
Oof.
Okay, yeah.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He was heavy-handed, and I think that there's some good to that. I mean, a lot of guys nowadays might piss and bitch about a guy like Bradshaw, but the way he worked was credible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep, I mean, they seem comfortable with each other. And here we go. Nope.
Block. Oh, right into the corner.
Oh,
sell
that's
the ribs,
a shame.
Jake.
Oh, and Jake with injured ribs. You would think that young JHB would take advantage of that.
And now he follows through. Had to shake the cobwebs out. He follows through with an elbow smash to the rib.
Mm-hmm.
And that area, going to put it on Jake. Ooh.
Yep.
See, again, I like this.
Right.
This is a wrestling match to me. Mm-hmm. This is a wrestling match.
Well, this would have been.
I sat on Sundays and watched matches like this, and I enjoyed them.
Right. Well, if Jim Valley were here, this would have been an opportunity to break out Gorilla McNeil and Jimmy the Body Valley. But that's a gimmick for another time.
Yes. Yeah. In a couple of weeks, he'll be right back on back up with the snuff.
That's right.
Watch the knee.
Nope.
Nice little following
man. That's the big one. It's the big one, Elizabeth. I'm coming.
It's the big one. Well played. Well played.
Thank you. That's what we're here for. All right. Boot to the head. Let's see.
I think we're going to be getting pretty close to here grabbing a hold.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to be grabbing
finish,
a hold here in a minute.
I guess. Yeah. But no, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second rub into that buckle.
Now you got Ross talking about how old Jake the Snake Roberts is at the age of 41. This is
wow.
So 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was considered old.
That's right. Well, I mean, what use would a wrestling fan have for a wrestler over 40? I mean, come on.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
Yeah. I think if you're 40 in WWE, you're just warming up at this point.
Yeah. because they had to sign all these guys who were at least good independent talents,
right,
who were older than everybody thought, but they just seemed like they were young because they'd never been on national TV.
Yeah.
Oh, not cover. Oh. Mm-hmm. He didn't leave the back door open.
He definitely had a good cover. Can't do that against a wily veteran like Jake the Snake.
All right. Okay. Sell up, Jake. Sell up.
Come on.
I'm telling Jake Roberts how to sell. Yeah. Come on.
Yep. Yep.
Well, God almighty. You let the balls on me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There
Fire
we go.
In. Duck it.
All
Duck
right.
It. Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Nicely done.
Good recovery. I mean, they kind of fumbled there a little bit, but a good recovery there by Jake.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh.
Nice.
Oh, boot to the. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
now he's going to go for
the lariat.
The clothesline from hell. Yeah.
Well, I think at this point it's still the lariat.
Yeah, it's still just the lariat at this point, but Jake's not going to be there.
Nope.
Jake's not going to be there. He stumbled, fumbled, and fell, and boom!
DDT!
Spin him over. Turn him over.
Just like that.
Turn him over, Snake. Oh, my.
Just like that.
Struggling. There it is.
And Jake has made it into the semifinals of King of the Ring.
That kid in the front row looks happy.
Oh, yeah. He looked thrilled. Oh, poor Uncle Zeb. Not a happy camper.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Jake moves on.
Zeb will get over.
Jake moves on.
All right, yeah. There we go.
I think that was a solid wrestling match and a great way for us to kick off the show here.
And the Snake beat Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Oh, okay. Oh well, he was.
Yeah,
they were a little upset with him this year. Yeah, that's
Kurt,
right. I
Kurt
remember
called
that.
Out.
Yeah. All right.
Can you imagine making that mistake?
Well, no. I think they've decided. I think they've decided that now that he's loyal. So, he's okay.
Yeah.
All right. So there we go. That was beautiful, folks. Now, we're joined by our sponsor, Ken of Ken and Tech's Pet Care of Bangor, Maine.
Absolutely.
KenandTech.com, KenandTech.com. Also, he's on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, all under Ken and Tech. We haven't started franchising Ken and Tech yet. You know, there are Ken and Techs in major cities, but people who are not in Bangor, Maine, or going to Bangor, Maine, what should you look for in a pet care company or service?
I would look for anybody that has any sort of credentials whatsoever. A lot of people do this as hobbyists. You know, a lot of younger people and maybe some older retired people.
Right.
People will sometimes look at it as, that'll be a really easy side hustle. And although the job isn't difficult in the sense that it doesn't take, this isn't neuroscience, Pat. Right. But at the same time, you want to find somebody who has just a basic minimum of qualifications, simply because that shows that they're going to do the basic minimum to treat this as a true profession and to give this the respect that it deserves. As you know, I'm a graduate of a dog walking academy. I'm certified in pet CPR and first aid. I'm fully licensed with the state. I'm bonded and insured. I'm all these things to try to show people, like, you know, look, this is serious. This is my full-time gig. This is pretty much my life. This isn't a hobby. This isn't a side hustle. This is what I do.
Right.
And just if somebody can show anything close to that level of commitment, those are the people that you want to be on the lookout for.
Okay. In the Bangor, Maine area, Ken and Tech's Pet Care, KenandTech.com. Rates
Absolutely.
And services and recommendations all on the website. And we thank you very much for sponsoring Wayback Playback.
No, I thank you, Pat.
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platforms. For exclusive bonus content, plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com. All right. Well, we're going to head over to the WWE Network at this point, and while I'm doing that, we'll do the part of the show where we normally do. We're going to talk briefly about the reviews of this show. I know that's a little bit before we get to the end of it, but this is the point. Okay, so reviews for Bash of the Beach 96 when they came in. Over in the Wrestling Observer, 74.4% positive, 13% thumbs down. I guess the rest were thumbs in the middle. That's pretty much what they have to be. Dave Meltzer writes, the Hogan turn totally overshadowed the best match on a WCW pay-per-view show in several years, the Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Psychosis opener, which was described by one reader as the first great match of the 21st century. The two combined pulling out their expected daredevil and intricate precision spots with strong mat wrestling and more selling and psychology than they would do in Mexico, Japan, or ECW. That match, according to Dave, earns 4.75 stars. And it was a, and as we talked about, it was a very, very good match. The low point of the card, according to Dave, was a match we saw last week. Steve Mongo McMichael versus Joe Gomez, clocking in at -1.5.
I forgot everything on this card except for the main event and one other match.
Well,
I don't Mysterio and Psychosis always had good matches, but I didn't specifically remember that one. Now, you bringing it up just kind of jarred me a little bit. The only other underneath match I remember from this particular event was Conan against Ric Flair, because somehow I remember even back then thinking, why the hell is Ric Flair wrestling for the United States title?
Well, that was...
And that's the only other match I recall from this event.
Fortunately, folks, Shane can go back and listen to our last two episodes and sync it alongside the WWE Network and get caught up with the entire show, should he feel the need. Now, meanwhile, over here...
Mongo and Joe Gomez.
Yes. Joe Gomez. Oh, my. Desperado Joe Gomez. I'm sorry. I should have used his full name. Okay.
Nah.
So, meanwhile, over here on Pro Wrestling Torch, Wade Keller gave the Ray versus Psychosis match 4.25, but he was more polite with the Mongo and Joe Gomez match, giving it a dud or 0 stars. Let's go over and check out the reviews from all the Torch columnists. I will give a summary because otherwise we'll be here all night. Chris Savisa said, I agree 100%. Hulk Hogan should have been the third man. If you have a team of WWF invaders, who could be better than the man that was the WWF? However, it would have been nice if the match that introduced him could have been at least a little tiny bit heated and set the stage for a big entrance. The only time this thing has failed is the actual match. Okay, so let's see. That's Chris, if you haven't not familiar with his work.
I'm familiar with it. I'm surprised he didn't mention something about Japanese wrestling in that sentence or statement.
I skipped over a lot of it. So.
Oh, okay. If you were summarizing.
Yeah, all right. John Williams, Torch contributor at the time, said, let's see, on paper and in execution, Hogan as the third guy seemed to work in the building and on TV and seemed to set the company up for a good run in the middle term. Clearly, Hogan is one of only two people available who could have kept this thing from being anticlimactic, and the other, Bret Hart, simply wouldn't take the money. Let's see. The only thing certain is that the answers will be in the numbers, and that's what we in WCW will be studying closely for the next 3 years to see how this plays out. And my friend Bruce Mitchell, I think, handled it much better. It may have been a one-trick pony, but this time the pony was Secretariat. WCW had the one spectacular card to play in the person of Hulk Hogan, and they played it superbly. And I really don't think this is a spoiler, because I think we gave that I think we pretty much gave away what happens in the first 2 hours multiple times. So, yeah.
Wow. And if you don't, by Al.
Yeah. You're not going to. I mean, I would have loved to save this for a surprise for people, but really it's not. Jason Powell, who is not a commentator, columnist of the Torch yet, gave the show 7.5, said wasn't bad, wasn't great, kind of uneventful until the very end. Let's see. I hope Hogan,
which is exactly what they it should have been.
I hope Hogan doesn't overshadow Razor and Diesel.
Honestly, I mean, looking back at this, I mean, while you're taking the comments, this was exactly what this should have been. They built it up right. They set it up right, and nothing short-term or long-term was any more memorable, and this is one of the most memorable moments of wrestling in the last 40 years, bar none.
And Torch Readers gave it an average score of 8.1 out of 10, which seems more than fair. Okay. So let's get back on with it. All right, we're at 1 hour, 56 minutes and 57 seconds, closing out with the Mean Gene Oakland interview and getting ready to go to the ring for the semi-main event featuring, of course, the champ. So I'm ready, Shane's ready, and everybody, we're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right, here we are, the long shot of the Baltimore Arena. Oh, excuse me, at the Ocean Center in Daytona Beach, and here we go. It's time for the big Extreme Rules, No Disqualification match.
Right.
Happy Extreme Rules Day, Shane.
Thank you, and same to you as well.
Thank you, I appreciate it. All right, it's the Dungeon of Doom versus the Horseman.
That sandcastle.
Yeah. And there it is, Arn Anderson, Chris Benoit, who I guess technically are kind of the baby faces here.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't really a baby face in this angle between this sub angle between the Horseman and the Dungeon. I guess the Horsemen kind of were.
And I guess we're underway. Here we go. Sullivan and the Giant attack from behind. Doug Dillinger somehow got himself into the middle of this.
Doug Dillinger,
best known for wandering around confused at ringside for many years for WCW. Got the Halliburton. Oh, Mongo hit the Giant with the Halliburton. Oh, no. And, of course, the Giant goes after Mongo and leaves Kevin Sullivan alone with Arn and Benoit.
Well, there you go. That seems like a practical thing.
Yep. Your referee is Nick Patrick.
Hey.
Hey. All right. It's Hossman style. It's Hossman style, Shane.
It's Hossman.
Yeah.
It's the Hossman.
All right.
Three-man booth of the Brain, Dream, and
Tony.
And Tony Schiavonto.
Oh, here we go. Now we're gonna start this match for real. Here comes the stinky, mean, nasty Giant.
Yeah. You want to talk about a guy who went from one thing to another.
Yep.
God Almighty.
Yep. 24 years. Yep. 25 years in the business and counting, and Monday night, big headlining match against Randy Orton coming up.
Well, I mean, he's a survivor. I mean,
he is.
You can't knock the man's longevity.
No, I can't. Nor would I want to. I'm glad he's doing well.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to care about it. And he's smart. I mean, and I think they use him decent at this point. I mean, not that it doesn't overwhelm me to see him.
Right.
But at least they use him, right? They he's in and he's out. He's in and he's out.
He's an attraction. Yep.
Absolutely.
They finally got around to using him like he's Andre. Okay. All right. Okay, so, yeah, Kevin Sullivan's going to take the heat here. And, boy, nobody can play Ricky Morton like Kevin Sullivan.
The most unsympathetic baby face in the history of wrestling.
I know.
He's not a baby face here, but, I mean, there's just – and I saw Sullivan when he was a baby face.
Oh, yeah.
Like you couldn't feel bad for the guy.
You can see lots of him as a baby face on the network if you know where to look. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's 76 stuff that's in old school, yeah. Okay, here we go.
I love watching those old arena shows.
Oh, yeah. Good times. All right. Matter of fact, after this, we're gonna try to pick out some shows to choose from for next time for the big vote, so stay tuned. Oh, yeah, and also our main event is still to come, by the way.
Yes.
Stay
tuned, ladies and gentlemen. The match that we have been building up since Memorial Day.
That's right. Pretty much. Well, WCW was building it up since Memorial Day, so it all works out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Look at that.
My Daily Motion is kind of in slow motion, so I might be a little bit behind you.
I understand that. Shane will be taking the Jim Valley role, complaining about the how well the network's performing, by the way. Because normally that's Jim's job.
Sullivan is very credible. Yes. These, you could tell these two didn't like each other.
Nope, that's good. I mean, so let's talk about that. Sometimes you can make it work when they don't get along in real life, and sometimes it's just too much. Now most of the times when there's good money involved, people will do business, right?
Absolutely. That's the only way to, I mean, that's, you know, we could talk all day about the Sullivan, you know, Benoit situation. Basically, you know, Sullivan booked his own divorce. But these guys put all the other stuff, they worked themselves into a shoot, as we say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but in the ring, you could always tell that they were putting it in there with each other, but they weren't unprofessional.
That's right. That's, and it could have gotten ugly, and it really, you know, it really didn't. So, yeah, but you know, I mean, you don't book your own divorce unless you want to get divorced. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Oh, and by the way, Kevin,
how someone made his hair do that—the ponytail in the back sticks straight out—that's not an easy thing to do.
No, it isn't. Oh, and by the way, I should point out that on the Creative Control Network, as of Thursday, Kevin Sullivan's Taskmaster Talks podcast, so be sure to check that out. Another fine program
for
folks here at Creative Control. Yeah, I haven't heard it yet, but you know, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, between that and, you know, between this show and that and Hurricane Show and Road Warrior Animal Show, there's plenty of stuff that even Chain Shadows can enjoy on the Creative Control Network.
Oh, wow. Yep. Tune into some of that stuff. Isn't it always funny watching Kevin Sullivan take a bump?
Yes, it is.
Like, I just saw him take a slam. It's so strange because it is this little fire plug of a guy hardly ever left his feet.
Right. Well, that's, you know, apparently when you book stuff, you can get away with some of that.
you can get away with a lot no matter how tall you are.
That's true. Yep.
See, but now they're working this match. Now I'm seeing Sullivan fight out of the corner and fight out of the corner from the baby faces, knock their heads together. They're working the match like the Sullivan and the Giant or the baby faces, and they're nobody in the world rooting for them in this match.
No, they're not. No.
Clearly not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, it's hard because, I mean, Sullivan's easier to buy as the guy who's getting double teamed than, say, you know, than maybe Benoit or Arn. I don't know.
Well, yeah, to some degree. I mean, you know, this is, I mean, you have to have a match. You know, somebody has to kind of break the rules or lean a little bit a certain way. I mean, as you know from our years of doing our things together,
yes,
we used to talk about that all the time. It's like, you know, we don't know who people are going to root for because these guys aren't familiar to anybody, mm-hmm. but someone's going to lean one way or another and just try to, because otherwise you can't have a match. At least that's what I always believed.
Right, and if the crowd goes the other way, pretend that's what you meant to do in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. But now it's a totally different thing now, where everyone's just trying to get their moves in and everything. It's not about trying to lead people down a path.
Well, now Shane, we're going to argue about it. Not everybody is like that.
Well, okay, and not everybody. I'm just saying a lot of what you see now is like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Superplex, there's no way this bump gets taken. Okay, I was right.
Yep. Got waved off on that one, yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the horsemen are, a little flummoxed right now.
Sullivan
is, I mean, it's so awkward sometimes in his work. I mean, he's a brilliant man.
Right.
But sometimes watching him in these type of matches was just, you could, this just wasn't his forte at this point, you know.
Oh, this is not good.
There's a lot of unsteady on his feet in certain spots. And,
you know, Kevin Sullivan's not the guy who should be the fulcrum for the slingshot spot there. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing worse than, well, there's lots of bad things, but a slingshot spot done badly is really takes you out of the moment, so.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
All right, and there we go. We got Arn, we got the Giant, and we got split screen Cam.
I'm at a point where they're trying to dig in each other's eyes. Benoit and him are digging in each other's eyes.
Okay.
Again, that little nod towards we're not working, we're shooting, brother.
All right, well, okay.
Like I said, I think I'm a little behind you.
You're a little behind, but yeah, Benoit and Kevin are peeling off to the back, so. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
All right, well, the Giant is, and the Giant and Arn are in the ring, and, it's a fight. And WCW was always so awkward doing the split screen thing, as we've talked about on previous episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever done a podcast on World War III?
No, we haven't.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be one for the future, but the three split screens of the 60-man battle royal.
Well,
I can't see what the hell's going on. I paid $40 for this.
Well, you know what, Shane? This is the era of big screens, so.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord, yeah. I guess I wonder what that would look like now.
Yep.
I was watching it back on a regular screen TV, you know,
oh, goodness.
35 years ago, whatever it was.
All right, so the match is over, and we still have and Sullivan and Benoit brawling around the lifeguard stand.
Oh, okay.
And they're brawling back towards the rail. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Sullivan and Benoit are not done. Let's just go with that. Yeah. And we're gonna take this.
It'll never be over.
No, never. Never, brother.
It'll never be over.
All right. Here we go. Arn's in the ring. Arn is still down. And well,
I'm trying to catch up with you, and I can't.
I know. I don't. Yeah, just
don't. I'll fake it.
Yeah, you'll get there. All right. Now we're gonna get the superplex spot here. Belly to back superplex. There it is. Oh, and sand spilled everywhere. All right. Oh, and here comes. Here she comes. Here comes a woman. Oh no. Yeah.
Oh, they just knocked over a fake palm tree.
There you go. All right.
You already saw that, right?
Yeah, I saw that. Okay, here comes a woman. A woman's like, Chris, please, you're hurting him. And he's like, yeah, that's kind of the idea, honey. That's kind of what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a little awkward for
me.
Yeah,
it is. It is just a little awkward. She was so good, though.
I told you before we went on the air. Before we went on the air, that's the first time I've watched a Benoit match in 11, 12 years.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's an occupational hazard doing this show. And the Giant's coming back in.
Yeah, I got you.
The Giant is running back in to save Kevin Sullivan. Oh, thank goodness. Because otherwise things might have gotten out of hand.
Yeah, he's setting him up for that belly to back off the top. Yeah, you just knew this one wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But it does.
Yep.
And he did it all right. Did all right with it.
Okay, so right now, yeah, the Giant, Jimmy Hart, they're tending to Kevin Sullivan, and I guess they're gonna carry him to the back, or at least the Giant's gonna carry him to the back. Really, let's call it what it is.
Chris, stop it! She's trying to tell Chris to stop it.
I know. All right, and yeah, it's kind of awkward, but the Giant's still pulling it off. He's gonna carry his guy to the back. Yep, and yes, the Dungeon of Doom has defeated the Horseman. Mm-hmm. You hate to see it, but there it is. Right. And Tony Schiavone has no idea what to say. Well, all right, we're going to see some replays now. So you might be able to catch up during the replays.
The Giant's back, and we're staged off, and we're moving on.
All right, so choke slam, and a 1-2-3. All right, yay. And I hear a dog barking in the background, so now might be a good time to talk about our sponsor, Ken of Kenatex Pet Care of Bangor, Maine. Ken has been very busy this summer in the Bangor, Maine area, has very fortunate to have wonderful clients. He is licensed, bonded, and insured. You can check him out at kenandtech.com, and handles you all your dog walking, pet sitting, and other needs. Ken also takes lots of great pictures of the dogs and cats and other animals he tends to, which you can find on Facebook and Instagram. Go to Ken and Tech, KenAndTek, and find them there. And Ken is also trained in pet CPR, which is something I'm not trained in, and I know you're not trained in, Shane.
Yeah, not at all.
Yep. So absolutely.
Also brought to you by Red Wriggler, the Cadillac of Worms.
Well, there you go. But really, Ken and Tex, pick your banger main and go to KenandTech.com and by all means, tell Ken that you heard about him on this podcast. He'll be amazed and impressed. Oh, now we get a video package, Shane, on WCW The Hostile Takeover.
Oh, wow.
This is where they bring in this...
I'm still watching Sullivan's ass up in the air as kind of carries him off. Is that the end of that?
Probably, yeah. But yeah, this is the video package is playing to whatever knockoff of the song Crazy by Seal that Turner had. And yeah, here it is. Yes, Scott Hall arrives. Sting confronts Scott Hall. I'm pretty sure we have this episode back in the archives too, the Memorial Day episode where Scott Hall showed up. Had a big slap in the face.
You know who I am, and you know why I'm here.
That's right. Oh, yes, and of course, Scott Hall promises a big surprise next week. I have no idea who he could possibly be talking about. Now, stage two.
I remember when I was reading about this after those two had arrived that they were talking about, Meltzer was talking about the third partner possibly being Mabel.
Yep, that's
you remember this?
Well, yeah, that's been discussed. And I mean, the plan was for weeks before this for it to be Hogan, but they weren't 100% sure Hogan would go along with it. That was the issue. That's why the backup plan in case Hogan chickened out at the last minute was to turn Sting, and Sting had been briefed and he was ready if it was necessary for him to do that. But it would not have had quite the same impact. I'm going to say
it wouldn't have got over. When they tried turning Sting heel 2 years later, it didn't get over. Sting's not a heel.
It didn't make sense.
Yeah. Hogan could be a heel because Hogan is like how to work in a different way than Sting. Sting knew how to be Sting.
Right.
You know, but Hogan Hogan understood the business better. And I think he also, not only the performance side of the business, but the business side of the business. I think Hogan realized this was going to be the breath of fresh air that extended his career and his bank account, and it did for a couple years.
As a matter of fact, he was at the point. They were coming to the point where his contract was coming up October of '96, and by agreeing to this, he made sure that he would be taken care of, and he'd be on the payroll for years to come. And there he is.
Right, I think.
Yeah. There's Nash. Yes. Part of this was silly when Hall and Nash, when Hall and Nash kept escaping every week and kept not getting the crap beat out of them, which is why 5 years later when WCW invaded WWF, WWF made sure that that wouldn't happen. So.
Yeah. But again, in the beginning, it was smart for them not to let these guys let anyone get to them.
Right.
But there comes a point where there has to be a payoff. And the real problem with the NWO was there was never a payoff. Like when the heels become the baby faces, your business is going to start hurting. And they asked off too much. I'm not a Kevin Nash fan. I think he was very, very much, he just didn't take the spot particularly seriously, in my opinion. As silly as that sounds now, all these years later, because we're supposed to act like none of this is significant or important, but one time a day it did matter. It mattered to the fans who was paying to see it, and it mattered to most of the guys who are participating in it. I mean, it seems crazy 24, 25 years later talking about guys worried about turning heel and not wanting to do jobs, but it was a different business then. It's how these guys protected themselves,
Right. And, you still have, in 2020, you still have people who, instead of worrying primarily about money, there are people who are like, I want to get out of here and wrestle and be able to, have some say in what I do out there.
You're absolutely right.
Okay, I'm sorry. They're starting. Michael Buffer is starting the introduction, so I just wanted to get you caught.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was just there, and the phone cut off. Okay. Now he's back. Come on, Michael.
Okay. There's Buffer, and here come Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. Yep. the Outsiders.
God, this thing is running so slow.
If you don't know they're the Outsiders, Scott Hall made sure to put it on the back of his jacket.
Yeah, you got to put stuff on your gimmicks.
And
hey, yo.
Yeah.
You know, you would never, you could watch this stuff. And I still think about this periodically. You know, you could watch Scott Hall from 10 years earlier and look at him and you wouldn't even think he was the same guy. His body language, his look, his body language were so totally different. I mean, you would never think. I mean, you could look at Scott Hall and say, look at a guy this size and who looks like this. He can be a star, but he was awkward. But he lost weight. He thinned, trimmed up. He was, I mean, think about this. 5 years before this match happens, he's doing TV jobs on Saturday night.
Yeah, he's the Diamond Stud, yeah.
Yeah. He assimilated to his situation. He went from with McMahon, and McMahon made him he was like the upper card babyface and heel. And by the time he gets here, he's truly ready to be a top guy.
Right.
It was amazing.
Okay. Well, we don't know. The third man hasn't shown up yet. Gene Okerlund.
We'll let you know when you need to know.
Yeah. There you go. Gene Okerlund coming to the ring. And who's the third guy? I don't know. Do you know? I don't know.
Oh, we didn't bring no third guy, did we, Kev?
No. Yeah, no. Yeah. Oh, Mean Gene's going to ask him who the third guy is. Well, this will go well.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not telling you anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once again, I'm frozen up and my blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Well, Shane will get
show a unity on the baby faces team on this one with the painted faces. They haven't made their way out yet.
No, they have not. You know too much already, man.
Yeah.
He's here, and he's ready. Okay. Wait a minute. Yes.
The one, the promo before the seconds before the match starts. You don't see this much, but that fits here.
Right.
It's like, wait a minute, you're supposed to have a third guy with you. What's the story? Yeah. And you know, these guys are not sweating it a bit,
right.
Not a bit, in a good way at this point. Because I mean, they have to appear to be confident about what they're doing. It's all part of a bigger plan,
right?
You know. Down the line, a year or two, these guys were taking a big dump all over everything that they were trying to do, and they helped accelerate the death of this company.
Yes.
There's no disputing that. But at this point, they're doing the right thing for business standing here and the way they're approaching this.
Right. Yeah.
At least I thought.
Yeah, business sort of fell apart because it took too long for WCW to get anything back, and
they didn't have anybody.
Yeah.
They didn't have anybody. I mean, it's like they pulled the trigger on Luger beating him. Luger got super hot, if you remember back in the summer of 98 when they were building Sting. Luger got super hot.
Luger got super hot. Luger beat him, and then he lost it 5 days later, and that
killed it.
That was the end of that. Yeah.
Killed it deader than 4 o'clock. And the only baby face they really had that anybody believed in was Flair, who was constantly put in a stupid idiot position. And Goldberg.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know how that turned out, you know.
Okay.
They can still be cashing checks off this. I mean, there's no reason this company, truly there's no reason why this company had to die other than just piss poor decision making. They shot their wad. They got all the stars. They got as hot as anything that there ever was, except for the next thing that McMahon put together.
Yeah.
And they killed it within 3 years.
Yep. Well, pretty much. All right, here we go. So the bell is rung. We're underway here in Daytona Beach. It's 3-on-2. And,
which is a peculiar spot for the heels to be in a disadvantaged position, but at least it makes sense here. We're telling the story, you know. Yeah, I don't think that Sting would have been a good choice. I think Macho would have been a better choice because he was just so volatile.
Mm-hmm.
And you could make the case that if Hogan would have backed out of this, you could have made the case that you set up a spot in the middle of the match where one of these guys knocks Randy out, and then when Randy kind of comes back up, it's like it even though it was an accident, it looks like it was on purpose. And Randy, again, the heel always should be justified in his actions and behaviors. Yeah. You know, they don't – people, generally speaking, don't do bad things because they just say, hey, let's go do bad things.
Yeah.
There's a reason – there should be a reasoning and a plausible happenstance that can kind of cause it. Now, Luger's going to slap that hand away. Luger looks good with the ponytail and the face paint.
Actually, he does.
He looks better than Sting. Yeah. I didn't like Sting in this transition phase when his hair's brown and everything. Yeah. I think Sting doesn't look – he doesn't look like Sting to me. I mean, the Crow Sting is okay, but I like the, you know, the more – the flashier color, spike hair blonde Sting.
Right.
I thought that was a better fit for him overall.
Now, they could have turned Luger. I mean, Luger had been turned back and forth so many times that, you know. Yeah.
I remember earlier that, I mean, it wasn't even within a year that Luger had showed up and they had constantly teased that he was a heel. Or so he was a poor candidate, but he was probably somebody that, like, maybe the average fan thought that might be in on it. Like, watch Luger. Luger's the one that you can't trust.
Okay, so Luger's knocked out, like, 2 minutes into the match. He's out.
Yes.
Yeah.
I haven't got there yet, but he hits his head in the pole, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And it's up. There's that five arm, but the they would talk about the knocked him out of the ring, shit can.
Yeah,
coming back up.
Okay.
Oh, clothesline runs into. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So okay. Luger's out. Staying in
okay.
Savage checking
the
out.
The finger splash. That was the spot. That was the spot because Nash was holding Luger like throat first across the corner post, and the Stinger. Yeah, right. Okay, right. So this again, you're probably sitting here thinking, well, now this is what I was just talking about a minute ago with Savage. Yeah. It's like you set up a spot here that makes you think that Luger might come back later. Yeah. I think this. I think that's good.
They've got the gurney here. Yep. Okay, but I mean the plan was if something happened, it was going to be Sting, and obviously. You were supposed to believe that Sting did this on purpose. So. But again, I think we can all agree Hogan was the best choice for this. I don't think there's any real.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard for me to believe that they could have even conceivably made anyone believe that Sting did that on purpose that way.
Right.
You know, again, I mean, that just doesn't fit. I don't know how to explain it, maybe.
Yeah.
But
okay.
It just doesn't fit.
We're going to see it again.
We're going to
see it again. There's the splash, and down goes Luger, and down goes Kevin Nash, and bam. And we're going to see again where Buckwheat got shot.
He was quiet, and he kept to himself.
Yeah.
You think he shot Buckwheat? Oh, absolutely. That's all he ever talked about.
Yeah. There you go. All right.
Savage is puzzled and frustrated, but you know it's like, man, what are we gonna do now?
We're gonna freak out, or freak all about you.
There's our review. I gotcha.
All right,
good
here
spot.
We are. All right, so Luger's getting wheeled out on the gurney. Oh my goodness.
There's Mike Graham. Is that a shot of Mike Graham? And who are some of the guys there? No, that's not Mike Graham. I thought that was Mike Graham.
No, it's not.
I prefer it when it's road agents, former
road
wrestlers,
agents are always
the guys
great.
Who are doing.
Yeah,
you see those guys. Hey, look, there's Rene Goulet.
Tony Garea.
One of those fun moments. Right. You know, you get to see all the olden day wrestlers. So. Luger's out of here, and the fans look concerned, which nowadays they would not give two balls of a
Now you can't say it. Now, Shane, come on.
It's a different world now.
Yeah, we're still trying to do a PG show, you know.
I'm sorry.
All right. Don't worry. Okay,
All right. Okay. Now they're ready. Hall and Nash are happy. They're rubbing their hands together
practically. Now it's a tag match. Now it's Sting and Savage, and Hall and Nash, it's a tag match. And here we go. And a hot tag for the Macho Man. Oh, and he got caught. Oh, well.
Three of the best heavyweight workers in the world at that point in time, and Kevin Nash
and
are
Kevin
in this
Nash,
match, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, my goodness. Kevin Nash dropped him across the turnbuckle. Oh, he's dead. He's dead, Jim.
Yep. So I'm still back here with Sting really wearing a hole in Scott Hall.
Okay. All right, now Savage. Savage is going to fight his way back. against Scott Hall, and there's a near fall. Two. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it would have been really awkward if Hall and Nash had gotten beaten right here, you know?
Yeah. Indie booking 101. Bring your heels in and beat them the first night.
Yeah.
Snake eyes.
Well,
beat them the first night, Jim.
Well, you gotta beat them. Well, if you're Paul Heyman, you know they have to lose the first night to show that they're loyal. You know.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
Main event guys are main event guys for a reason, right. And you know. If you don't trust the guy you're doing business with, then you shouldn't be doing business with him. And of course, WCW is the cautionary tale.
They're the example.
And the two men in the ring are these great examples. Yeah. The biggest one being the biggest one.
All right, so Nash. Okay, so Savage is down, and here comes Nash off the rope. Oh wow, that was a botch spot.
He didn't tear a quad on that one, did he?
No, he tried to drop an elbow and miss, and he dropped an elbow, and, well, Savage rolled the wrong way.
I'll see it here in a second.
You'll see it. All right, now Sting's in. Sting's in, and Nash is going to work him over. Okay.
I'm not necessarily the world's biggest proponent that a guy has to be a great ring worker to be a real star.
I know that.
Never have thought like that. I've just, you know.
Well, they don't have to be a great, technical wrestler. They do have to work.
Right.
Working
and wrestling
are
different things. There's that elbow, and you're right. Yeah, that did not. Yeah. That hurt.
Yeah.
That hurt.
That was just unfortunate. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, Randy's gonna need a minute after that. He probably got his neck beer canned.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. Now the fans, and really, the fans are in there. I mean. They're in silent. They're silent. They're not bored. They're just trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, you got to follow the story. You're always going to have. I mean, and that's the thing that I tell guys on the indies too. It's like, well, the people quit making noise. It's like because you can't constantly keep people at that high. You can't. You got to let the soup cook a little bit. You know.
Oh, okay.
You know.
And there's the choke lift by Nash. Oh, and he ragdolls Sting into the corner. That's not pretty. All right.
Sting's selling like a bag of wheat in this match. He's just not,
Yep.
You got to sell up. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just lay on your face.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're going to take bumps and you're going to get knocked down in the ring. You got to try to sell up. You have to show emotion. That's how you bring people up. I mean, again, Sting's a far better worker than I'll ever would have been and whoever will be. But, I mean, this is a good example of that. He's not
okay,
he's selling.
Fall away slam. And two count. It also would have been awkward if Hall and Nash had won without Hogan there. But, fortunately, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, they could have won. They should have won. I mean, but
yeah,
if it would have just been, but of course that's the angle. But I mean,
there's a story here.
You wouldn't have wanted these guys beat tonight.
No, you wouldn't have. All right. Savage, he's angry. He's John with Nash.
Here come, yep, there you go.
There we go.
I'm about a minute behind you.
Nash
that was the fall away slam.
Nash with the Nash poking at Sting, kicking Sting. There we go. Okay. All right.
I'm not so sure I wouldn't have had Randy sell on the body of this match.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
I think Randy was a far more versatile worker than Sting. I think he would have,
Right, but you need
Randy's intensity came across whether he was a heel or a babyface or offense or defense.
Okay.
I think it would have led more to the match.
Okay, now here's the question, though. Who would you want getting the hot tag? Would you have wanted Savage or Sting? I would have wanted Savage getting
Sting.
The hot tag.
I think I want Sting there. And because I think Randy puts the body of the match together and sells with the electricity and the way he sells and comes back. The guy who does the hot tag is not always the best guy in the match. He's the guy who has the best. He looks the sharpest because he's the guy who's finally kicking everybody's ass.
Right.
You know? Who gets it?
There we go.
I mean,
it's a roll up.
There we go.
Yep. There we go. Oh, and Sting getting worked over again. All right. Elbow drop, and another elbow drop by Hall.
On my feed, Sting just dropkicked Nash in the knee twice.
Wow.
Skip that, back.
Well Nash should have been, Nash been out of the match at that point. That should have taken that
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. All right. Here we go, the abdominal stretch.
With the leg, yanking on the leg, too?
Not yet.
I'll catch up with you a minute, because Hall had that way. Oh, cradle.
Yeah, okay, you're a little behind. Yep, there we go. So, all right, so, yep. The assisted abdominal stretch, help from Nash. Yep. And Randy Anderson, not able to catch it that time. But don't worry, we'll get there.
Scott Hall is so deceptively big.
Yes.
And so deceptively good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, here's a guy who, I mean, he had his run.
Yeah.
He had his demons, and he had his contributions to screwing this business up on right. WCW side. But yeah. What a tremendous worker. God, what a good Jesus. I mean, nothing this guy does looks bad.
All right, nothing. Nash.
And he's 6'8".
Yeah. That's why I could big Scott Hall, yeah.
Yeah. Fabulous worker he was.
All right. So now... Here's Nash with the abdominal stretch after the switch, after the phantom switch. All right, here we go.
Nothing like a good switch.
Ah.
Oh, no. Well, but see, the Sting's not selling it.
No, he's shaking
Sting's
his head.
Sting's not selling it, you know.
He's okay, here we go. Wow. He's gonna,
Yeah.
Oh, Sting going to the eyes.
See, and this is such typical WCW camera work, too. It's like they waited like a minute and a half after he was in the abdominal stretch to see to turn the camera around for 10 seconds of Sting being caught in the abdominal stretch. Mm. You know, they just always seem like they could just miss the most obvious stuff.
Keith Mitchell. Yeah. Oh, no. All right, now Sting's in trouble. Oh, again.
Yeah, it's like there's so much daylight between Nash and Sting on this abdominal stretch. You could park a Cadillac in there. Oh my lord!
All right, so now I've got Hall in the Hall's got him in the face lock here. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And the face paint's wearing off on Sting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, cut him off right there. Maybe this is good that I'm like a half step behind you because I can put in like different analysis.
Yeah, maybe.
But what we, yeah.
All right, up, Savage. What's Savage doing? Oh, Savage is bringing a chair. He's got a chair. Yep.
Randy's walking up and down the apron.
Yep.
He's getting the hand expressions.
Pacing like a caged animal. Yep, he's doing his job.
Yeah, he's doing all he can. It's like, you know, if Randy could have been in the match and on the apron, it would have been better. Sting is just, looking back at this years later, Sting is very sluggish in this match.
Yep. He's taking up. He's getting,
over the top. Over the top. And that was still a disqualification.
No,
back
no.
Then, remember?
No, it wasn't.
Had they changed it already?
They got didn't they change that out after I'm trying to remember when they changed that.
I thought that was 97 they changed that.
Oh, I don't know.
They finally eliminated
that
top rope. I think that was a mistake. I always liked that top rope.
That might have been a mistake.
Easy heat.
It's WCW. It might have been a mistake. Well, yeah.
It's such easy heat. I always liked it when they would hurl a guy over the top rope. And they had the ref distracted, so that tends to make me believe that it still was supposed to be a disqualification.
Right.
I missed that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they had the ref distracted. Okay, fine. Yep. All right, so now Nash is working over Sting. Got another near fall. Okay. Hall and Nash in no hurry to motion to the back and get the third man out there.
Yeah, they're not. See, but again, you can tell who's kind of controlling this match because the baby faces are just not. They're not there on the comebacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just. I mean, you know what I mean? Sting is just kind of getting his ass handed to him. He doesn't show any kind of real solid. You got to seem like you got to stay in the match. You got to stay in the match. If you're not going to stay in the match, I mean, after a while, people are just going to doze on you.
Right. Okay, here comes.
They had such a super heated scenario here. But
Sting's fighting out, and the tag made to Savage. All right, here we go. Randy's in. Oh. And top rope on the hall. Runs him into Nash. All right.
And now people watching Sting stagger around like Otis Campbell. Oh, there's a boot that Nash.
Oh, good. Otis Campbell.
Paul didn't put Nash. Nash didn't put his head down. Now Sting's fighting. Jesus, finally.
Okay, here we go. Oh, there we go. Savage again. From the top rope to the floor on Hall. Another top rope double axe on the Hall. Oh, and Nash with the Greco-Roman shot to the doodads.
Now I got Randy coming in. He's waiting. And these guys are just, I thought, oh, geez, speed. Speed.
All right, here we go.
Fucking
hold on.
Nash, damn you.
Oh, look. Hulk Hogan's in the building. Hulk Hogan's making his way down the aisle.
Yeah.
But whose side is he on?
The all-time great, you know, spoiler alert.
It's Heenan being Heenan. All right. And Hall
How
and
could
Nash
we
take
dare
a powder?
Question the integrity of the Hulkster?
He gets Randy out of the way. Oh, and he drops the big leg on Randy Savage. Oh, no. Oh.
Double fist to the nuts.
Oh.
Now we're about to see Hogan. Now they're looking to the back. Hogan's coming now.
Oh, my goodness. Hogan's the third man. And there's a lot of, and there's happy fans, and there's angry fans, and everybody's got an opinion. And now Sting tries to jump in and gets clobbered. And it's 3-on-1 against Savage.
He did it all for the money, brother.
Yes, brother. And out goes Randy Anderson. Thank you. Randy Anderson takes the heave-ho through the middle rope. Another leg drop on Savage. Oh, no. Oh, brother, you can go straight to hell, Hulk Hogan. Straight to hell.
Oh, you can go straight to hell. Yeah, that's right. Shivani with one of the all-time calls.
All right, and Nash counts the three. Yep. So the official verdict is the WCW team wins by DQ. Unofficially, Randy Savage and Sting just got their asses kicked.
Pretty much.
What do we do now?
But it kind of needed to be this.
Yeah,
it
here comes
to be
the
this
trash.
Because this is where business was going. You couldn't give it all to them. I mean,
right.
Certainly, as I said, Sting could have sold a little bit more spiritedly. They could have had a little bit more in terms of the comebacks.
And Sting is helping Savage out of the ring, and now it's time to pose. And they're throwing stuff at Hogan. Here we go. All right, there's the cap. There's the wadded-up paper.
It gets ugly here in a minute.
Yeah. Oh, no. And Randy's getting helped to the back. Oh, yeah, here we go. Ring's starting to fill up. He turned on one of his best friends. Oh.
See, and this is what, but here's the mistake that got made. It's like these guys constantly played like this, thinking that they were going to keep on getting the same heat because of what they did on this night.
Yeah.
And it was the law of diminishing returns. They just did not know how to turn it back the other direction and show some ass.
Well,
they just didn't know.
They
showed
trying.
Ass, but in the wrong way.
And they weren't trying. Yeah. All right, Oakland's got the microphone.
In the wrong way. Oh, man, this is going to be something.
What in the
America's
world?
America's wrestling hero.
What are you thinking? Mean Gene, brother. The first thing we're going to do, brother, is tell these people to shut up. Hear what I got to say.
Yeah. Oakland's afraid he's going to get hit with a battery.
Yes.
There's something going on in the front row.
It makes me sick.
Down there to see at the bottom, Doug Dillinger. And
yeah.
Someone's got that foam Hogan. I bet that ended up on the arena floor before they left that night. Yes.
That guy in the front row who looks like Eugene is just going nuts.
Oh, my.
With the ECW shirt. Yeah. The first thing you've got to realize, brother, is this right here. This is the future of wrestling.
This is the new world order of wrestling, brother.
World. You call this the new world order of wrestling. These two men right here came from a great big organization up north. And everyone was wondering who the third man was. who knows more about that organization than Hulk Hogan, brother. Yeah. You have made the wrong decision, Hulk.
But it's crazy, but to the average fan back then, that's what they thought this was.
Yeah.
They thought that this was Vince McMahon sending his big stars in to ruin this company. Mm-hmm. And that's how it made so much money.
It wasn't 100% wrong, was it?
I mean, they ended up tearing it up pretty good, but I don't know that, there's still people who think that it was all, they were all in it together.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Well, no, there are people who thought they sent Vince Russo down to ruin WCW, but that came later.
Yeah. Montreal's a work. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Everything's a work.
Billionaire Ted promised me world caliber matches. Yeah. Eric Bischoff. And the whole WCW.
I've been working with that Flair guy for years. Probably.
I'm bored, brother. These are the men I want as my friends. Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
A new blood.
Yeah, it's worked out for so many other ones.
Yes. And now we're going to take over the whole wrestling business.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you are. Yeah.
We will destroy everything in our path. Look at all this trash on the ring, Hulk Hogan. You're going to expect a lot of this in the future.
Hogan, you turned your back on everybody, and again, the only real candidate here. I mean,
yeah,
I don't. Bret Hart couldn't have done this. These type of angles weren't Bret's forte.
This isn't a Bret deal. Yeah.
This is Hogan because you can't. I mean, are you going to send, Captain Cold to fight Superman? No, you're going to send Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
You know?
And now, here's the part that's sort of authentic. I worked for the charities. I did all this good work for people. And the fans look at the reception I got from the fans. If it wasn't for Hulk Hogan. Wow. They wouldn't be here, brother. Yep. Yeah, I was selling out the world, brother, while they were pumping gas to get to their high school, or whatever. All right.
Yeah.
There we go.
I was playing bass guitar in a bar. Yeah.
The New World Organization.
Yes. The NWOW.
All right. There we go. All right. They got the entire concession stand in the ring. Okay.
Did he get hit in the head with the big drink yet?
No. I don't know. Hulk Hogan, you can go to hell. Straight to hell. There we go. Yay. All right. And there's a shot of them together. The big triple arm raise. All right. And is that going to be it? We're almost there. That's it. We got the shark. We got the logo. And we get the credits. There we go. There's the lighting grid guy. There's the promogram coordinator. There's the guy who wrote the Nitro book. There's Hounds
Whisper
video. Jim Gamble's the engineer. Donnie is doing the rigging. Zane Bresloff, hey. Alan Sharp. Mm-hmm. Ricky Lassiter. And Jerry Mathers is the beaver. Yes. Homer Acock. I don't know, Homer. Jamie Engel. And Gary Jester and Mike Weber. And let's see. And WCW Online crew is there. And a bunch of other people you never heard of. Shirlene is handling the production. And producers are Tony Schiavone and Keith Mitchell. Nick Lambros is your vice president. David Crockett is your other vice president. Craig Leathers is your director. And Derek Bischoff is your senior vice president. Okay, now we're done. Yay. All right, copyright 1996, WCW, all rights reserved. Yeah, all right. Yay, hooray. We'd like to thank those of you who subscribe to our Patreon over at patreon.com/waybackplayback. If you go to patreon.com/waybackplayback, you can see our previous shows, including our archives, which feature a lot of the first 3 years of the show when we were behind the paywall. You cannot download these anywhere else. Well, that's not true, but I'll keep going anyway. This is great, kid. Okay, so Ken, you have been on the Wayback Playback Patreon. What do you like about it so far?
I think I just like the convenience most of all. Mm-hmm. It's just the ability to give back to a podcast that I feel deserves your support and deserves your patronage. I mean, and the site makes it extremely easy. Even a very non-savvy tech person such as myself was able to handle it.
Okay, that's good. For as little as $4.50, you can be a patron of Wayback Playback and enjoy getting our episodes in advance, hopefully by a couple of days, or at least by one day. Get our episodes in advance and get them ad-free. Not that Ken's ads aren't delightful, but some of you might be interested in saving a few minutes here and there. And get all the back issues, and we have bonus stuff, including bonus matches, including shows that Jim and I have done in the past elsewhere. It's patreon.com/waybackplayback. Check it out.
Absolutely.
Okay, so after this happened, let's go to the stuff here. All right, the next show, the next night, WCW Nitro, July 8th at Disney MGM, free with park admission, by the way, and you can check that on the network if you want to. On that night, it was Rey Mysterio beating Dean Malenko to win the Cruiserweight title. And in the main event, it was Sting defeating Arn Anderson, and Hall and Nash came out, and there was a whole fracas.
Is that when they lawn darted Rey?
No. I think the next week was the lawn dart. I don't think Helgut even showed on this one. Raw the next night.
Oh no, and he showed them.
No, Raw the next night, pre-taped from beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin. It was the Ultimate Warrior defeating Owen Hart by disqualification when Vader interfered. So Warrior got suspended and got his ass kicked in the same one-hour show. And in the main event, it was Vader and Davey Boy Smith defeating the Godwins when Davey Boy pinned Phineas Godwin. Oh, and they announced
probably the Warrior's last match.
And they announced that Sid would be on the pay-per-view instead of the Warrior. So they got you ready for that. Meanwhile, at the flea market in Memphis, July 8th, 1,200 people came out to see that show. In the big tag titles versus hair match, the team of Flex Cavana and Bart Sawyer regained the USWA title and tag titles and hung onto their hair, defeating Jerry Lawler and Bill Dundee. And in the main event, Ahmed Johnson.
Whatever happened to that Flex Cavana guy? He had a future.
Yeah. Flex Cavana, of course, Dwayne Johnson. But yeah, and the main event, Ahmed Johnson pulled from the show so that they could tape stuff for Raw. But in the main event, it was Brian Christopher filling in and defeating Unified Champion Jeff Jarrett by disqualification. And it was the first time USWA had made money on a Monday night show in the entire year of 96. There wouldn't be much more.
Wow.
The next ECW show was July 12th in Allentown, and they're living here in Allentown. The ECW Tag Team Champions, the Eliminators beat the Gangstas, and Terry Gordy and Tommy Dreamer beat Raven and Brian Lee. Okay. And let's see. And if you'd like to know more about, all right, we'll get to that. But it is time to pick out stuff for our next set of shows. There'll be a poll up on Twitter at RealPatMcNeil. Shane, you don't have a Twitter yet, do you? It's okay.
No, I do not. I never will.
Okay, that's fine. All right. Well, I kind of have to, but yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't though. All right. So let's take a look at our options. We do the four choices. Shane will get one of them here in a minute. All right, the listener's choice. We have our list of fan suggestions, and in true Wayback Playback fashion, we're going to take the request from our sponsor is going to get priority. Ken Banks would like to see the CWA Memphis show from August 4th, 1984. I want to say that is the Rock and Roll Express versus the Spoiler and Phil Hickerson in the main event. But, yeah, it's quality. It's quality Memphis stuff in the month of August, and I think we could all use that. So I'm going to go ahead.
Are you sure that's not the Tommy Rich, Eddie Gilbert, WFIA Tag Team of the Year angle? Did you ever, you know what I'm talking about?
I do, and it's not.
Oh, what a classic this is that
Memphis,
was.
This is a Memphis studio show. Well, this is they're setting up the big tag team tournament in Memphis on Monday night. That's
oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what this show is. And, I mean, Rude and Bundy, I think, are get a tag team match. And, let's see. Yeah, pretty much a lot of the tag. Yeah, it's pretty much showcasing their tag team guys. All right, so let me go ahead and find. Okay. Shane, if you would like to. Okay. If you'd like to pick a show to vote on since Jim isn't here, by all means, just pick something we haven't done before, and I think you can probably do that.
Huh? Let me see here. Just a pay-per-view or a TV show.
Something that's on the network or something that's on YouTube is the best way I can explain it.
Well, yeah, I would love for you guys to do the Georgia Championship Wrestling from Baltimore. A house show that they posted on the network a few years back that features Jack Briscoe's last title shot against Ric Flair, Ronnie Garvin, and Jake. There's a couple other good matches on there.
Are you sure that's hold on? Okay, are you sure that's Baltimore or is that the Omni?
Well, maybe I'm mixing the two, but I know that they had two Baltimore matches that they put on the network. One was Jack against Flair, and the other one was Garvin against Jake. Now I know there are two Omni shows on. Do the Omni show?
Hold on, let me get this. Okay. I know that there are a couple of Omni shows. Let me flip through this. Okay, there's the Omni. Well, right there, there's the November 6, 83 show, which is that's Tommy Rich and Ted DiBiase, and what else is this one? Ronnie Garvin versus Jake Roberts. Okay, this is it.
That's a good show.
Yeah.
That's a real good show.
Ronnie versus Jake, DiBiase versus Tommy Rich, and the Road Warriors against Dusty Rhodes and Brett Wayne. That's interesting. Yeah. I think there's another one with Flair versus Tommy Rich from the Omni, though. That's like December of 83.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great stuff. That's the best kind of stuff.
Yeah. I'm a fan. Okay, so let me put this in here. Omni, okay, so here we go. So I got Memphis 8484. Wow, all right. Let's see, and we've got, you got November 3rd, GCW, November 3rd, November 6th, excuse me, 83. Geez, well, okay, this is going to make it difficult to do what I wanted to do originally, but we can, you know what, we can work around that. Let's see, I'm just going to put up for a vote SummerSlam 88 because we haven't done that, believe it or not. And,
oh wow, another fun night.
Yep. That is Hulk and Savage against Andre and Ted DiBiase, the Mega Powers versus the Mega Bucks, Hart Foundation versus Demolition versus the Hart Foundation, and of course the Honky Tonk Man. It has an open challenge for the Intercontinental title, and we all kind of know how that worked out. So,
right.
Let's do that one. That's a good one. All right, and let me go ahead and, okay, we find this? Yeah, all right. Now is the time where I break out the randomizer, and we all know what that is. That's where we give the wheel a big spin. And here we go. All right, take a little big spin. Look at all it. Well, and my phone just shorted out on me. Hold on. Well, I screwed that up pretty good. Okay, hold on. I'm sorry, Shane. Skip the trial.
All right.
Yeah. All right, we're going to start over. I'm going to get the wheel. All right, we got thousands of suggestions on thousands of choices on the wheel. Pretty much everything on the WWE Network. So they give the wheel a big spin, and we pass by WCW Nitro, All Star Wrestling, Mid South Wrestling, Thunder, Hidden Gems, Saturday Night's Main Event, and we stop at ECW Supercards. Oh boy. ECW Double Tables from January of 1995. Cactus Jack takes on the Sandman in an extreme death match. And in the main event, the first ever ECW tables match for a tag team titles It is the Public Enemy defending against Sabu and the Tasmaniac when he was dressed like Captain Caveman. So that's
there you go.
Another iconic show. So four crazy choices, one crazy event. Go on to Twitter over the next few days, Real Pat McNeil, MCNEILL. And, of course, if you would like to know more about the big show, Jake Roberts, John Bradshaw Layfield, Kevin Sullivan, or Arn Anderson, visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or the Wrestling Observer. You could head down to your local library, except it's closed. Shane, this is the part where Jim says, same way back time, same playback channel. So.
Same way back time, same way back channel.
Okay, and do you have anything else you want to plug?
I have absolutely nothing to plug, but I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. Please send me a link, and I'll send it out to my thousands of friends on CPW, WV, and my personal page as well. Maybe people get a listen, maybe get you some little extra attention this week.
I would greatly appreciate that. And we could use the bump from having Sexy Shane Shadows on there, and hopefully Shane will put up a link to some of his matches that I can take and share on Twitter for the good people. All right, and so we're going to take the vote, and we'll come back, and Jim will be back in a couple of weeks. Until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.